So your organization, the Senior Executives Association, has written a paper detailing why the Stock Act is bad for senior executives, and you take issue with Sections 6 and 11 of the Act. What are those sections about?
Well, those sections require public disclosure, I should say actually more than public disclosure, posting on the Internet of executives' annual financial disclosure reports. Those are already available to the public through a process that really protects their integrity. In other words, if you provide to an agency your name, address, the reason that you want the report, that you understand that there are penalties for using that data inappropriately, you can obtain a copy. Yes, it takes a little bit of effort, but those two sections will require that these reports be posted and be widely available on the Internet, and furthermore, that they be available in searchable, sortable systems.
And there's no tracking of who actually sees it? I mean, it's just open for anybody to click on in the database?
Well, of course, we don't know about any requirements yet because we don't have regulations. But frankly, even if there were a login requirement, I mean, you know, what's to prevent Bugs Bunny from logging in? You really have no way of verifying the identity.
And I guess that's why people are concerned about identity theft. Now, not all federal career senior executives are supposed to be are required to contribute to this. I mean, it's my understanding that the law tries to make protections to those in the intelligence community. But I know your association argues that they could, in fact, wind up having their financial information revealed, too. How would that happen?
Absolutely. You know, we identified 11 unintended consequences, which are present first-class problems. And there are two ways in which intelligence community cover could be blown, if you will. One is, you know, senior foreign service officers also have to file these reports. And if you have them in a searchable database online, a foreign interest that suspects, which is not unusual, a senior foreign service officer actually being intelligence undercover could examine that database and say, aha, you know, Joe Smith's name is not in here, therefore he must be exempt by virtue of being in the intelligence service. So there you are. The second problem is, and we've already been contacted by a member who is a senior executive, is that you have to include spousal information. Her husband happens to be in the intelligence service, and that spousal information becomes public as well on the Internet.
I'm speaking with Carol Bonacero, who is president of the Senior Executives Association. And if I could play devil's advocate, a few months ago, a New Jersey newspaper, through the Freedom of Information Act, got a database full of federal employees, salary information. You could look up anybody but by name on this newspaper's website. So, in fact, this type of information is already out there. So contrast that with what the Stock Act requires. Would it really? I mean, it seems like if people want to put it up for public to see, for whoever to see, it's already there.
No, you're quite wrong about that. What's already there is their government salaries. What is not there is their personal finances, their investments, their loans. That's very different. I mean, I don't know very many people who would relish having their neighbors, their coworkers, their employees, and anyone with any casual interest from being able to look and say, aha, now we know exactly how much money they have and where it's parked. And that's very important, particularly for those, for example, who are traveling abroad on government business, those who are living abroad on government business, who are concerned about, for example, their children being subject to kidnapping, because, my goodness, there's a very nice ransom possible. We have identified a cybersecurity threat which is a concern that at least one country is building a database on government employees. This would make it enormously easy to build that database. There are any number, as I say, there are 11 particularly troublesome consequences of posting this information online.
So you've made your position known. You've released this paper. To whom are you directing it, and what realistically do you think they could do?
Well, I think the look, there are certainly two ways to deal with this. One would be, of course, to simply rescind this requirement for government executives. You know, they were never at issue. The issue wasn't that there was a concern about insider trading by government executives, that would be the ideal solution.
So, and just to interrupt for a minute to clarify, to rescind, you mean that it would take an act of Congress to...
Absolutely. Okay. As would the other solution, which is, less desirable, but still would be one way to resolve this, at least for the moment, which would be to delay implementation until these issues could be looked at and we could determine what to do about them. I mean, I do think, you know, in the end, while you can say, well, perhaps there's a way to carve out different exceptions, in the end, there is no way to really shelter employees from the possibility of identity theft. And as long as we're going to put all of this up on the internet, that I think that will always be a possibility.
When is it's supposed to start now? When is the website supposed to be up?
Well, by August 31st, all agencies are supposed to have this up. Now, the Office of Government Ethics says that no agency has a searchable, sortable system. I mean, nonetheless, they can certainly and presumably will, in order to uphold the law, post these reports on their websites.